This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Hello. Hey, there we go. Happy Friday, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for being here this morning on National Morning Show Hosts Day. Feels good to have our own special morning. I walked in. There's bagels in here, coffee, balloons, and streamers, and it's just great. Sack full of cash, some bonus money left over. It's just great. I really appreciate that, Adam and Michael and the rest of the crew here at Odyssey. You really made us feel special on our special day. It's good to be here. Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. Paulie can confirm none of that is in here this morning. Not one thing.
I thought it was cool. Got off the elevator, like just a bunch of people were here.
Just waiting. Just to say hi. Yeah, just working. Say hello. Yeah, man.
We are the only ones.
We're the only ones in the building. And our engineer, Mike, sweet angel, just had a baby yesterday. No, he didn't. One of his kids. His baby had a baby. He's a grandfather. Happy grandfather to you. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning. Now, to be fair to everyone else who didn't set up a big celebration for us on Morning Show Host Day,
yeah.
You found out it was Morning Show Host Day literally
3 seconds.
3 seconds before you cracked the microphone.
Yeah, I didn't even know what I was going to say in the open. And then I looked down, I said, oh, it's Morning Show Host Day. So very, very exciting times for us. I'm a little run down. I don't know if you can tell. The voice is a little bit gone.
It's been one day.
It's not even really from that. That yesterday was a breeze with my kids. My wife went to Hawaii, and it was a breeze. I mean, listen, I'm not trying to be a jerk here when I say it's easier when it's just the three of us sometimes, because there is no one saying, okay, bath time. Okay, let's wrap it up. Bedtime. Like, we just go at our own leisure. We went down to Seaside Market yesterday when I picked the kids up from school. And it's nice because they can pick a couple things they like. And my six-year-old really likes ribs a lot. And I don't know why. We're not a huge rib family. I'm not always in the backyard just like, all right, got another slab on the smoker. Like, I don't really know where he got his love of ribs, Ben and Paul. But
there's something primal about eating.
Yeah.
Ribs, well, that even probably a six-year-old understands. I'm eating meat off of a bone.
Yeah. Well, don't forget,
homeboy. They're also delicious.
Don't forget, homeboy's got missing teeth, like a bunch of missing teeth
how
in the front.
Ribs?
So yeah. I'm watching him last night, like trying to like wedge it in his back teeth. So he crushed some ribs.
He's just gumming them.
He's gumming ribs. Yep. So he's got barbecue sauce all over his face. So it was great, man. We did that. We went out, played some hoops. And then from there.
What'd you have?
I had Cardiff Crack.
You did?
Yeah. Okay. I had a little tri-tip there from Seaside. Really, really good. Some mashed potatoes. Phenomenal.
Plate, not sandwich.
Plate. Nice. Yeah, no sandwich. Just the plate. And then Taylor had some little chicken nuggies. And we had a bunch of fruit. It was good, man. Got him in the shower. We watched some of the Padres game, and then I put them to bed, and they both were like, okay, Dada, and went right to bed, didn't get up, didn't run around. They were a dream, a total dream. So it's just, you know, you take one out of the equation. Maybe somebody that, I don't know, I'm just spitballing here. This is hypothetical. Maybe somebody that's anxiety-ridden, obsessive-compulsive. You take that out at bedtime and playtime, you get a little bit more of a relaxed vibe around the Woods house. So that's exactly what we did. And it was cool. Now, that does not promise me that the next 4 days are going to be the same.
But is it possible, though, without that person, unnamed, that after a couple of days, it's nice as a change of pace, but after a week or so, that your life would fall apart completely without that help?
Well, there's no question, because I started walking around the house going, I know I forgot something.
Yeah.
I know I forgot. Forgot to feed the fish. Okay, yeah. Feed the fish. And then I'm like, is the litter box good? I had to go check the litter box is fine. So there's all these checklists that you have to do the whole time. And it's just there's a lot. She does a lot, man, around the house. The dishes. So my mother-in-law came over this morning to take the kids to school. So I was sweating it. I hadn't heard from her. I said, can you be here at 5? Yeah, 4:58. She's still not here. So I'm now planning the game of, I have to call Ben and Paul and say, all right, here are our options. I'll see you guys at like 8, or can we set up my thing on this crappy Acer computer and will Zoom me in, which will sound like death. You can do that, or I can get these kids up and bring them to work. My options were not great. And then she glides in the door, 5 o'clock on the nose, and I glide out, piece of cake. So, but yeah, it's an interesting one. I like that that we do have some Dodger fans coming in early to weigh in, which you should. You absolutely should. They're in the chat this morning. And listen, I get it. Your local radio station in L.A., they're not talking about the Dodgers. They'll give it a cursory mention. And then it's Rob Pelinka time. And it's Bronny James time. I looked at ESPN L.A. Twitter the other day. I saw 17 tweets in a row about Rob Pelinka, the summer league, starting rotations, the Bronny James shot that he made. They had Pelinka on as an interview, and they just went Lakers, 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 Lakers for 19 tweets. So I get why you're here. Let me try to be as honest as I can. Congratulations to the Dodgers on winning their 11th out of 12 years. 11 out of 12 years, you won the National League West. Now, if I was from Poland and I moved here and I said, oh my God, these guys have won 11 out of 12 division titles. They must be sitting on stacked rings. What would you say? Four? At least four?
Yeah.
All right. So you got one. And you won it in a 60-game season. This is why I don't like Dodger fans. You haven't won anything yet. All right? Relax. You win these all the time. This is nothing. I'd be so bored with winning division titles, especially if I won 11 out of 12. And I got really almost nothing to show for it. So, again, congratulations for a team that has three MVPs at the top of the order. You added Tyler Glass now. You added Yamamoto for $300 million. You've got a lockdown bullpen, some of which you traded for. Congrats. I mean, this is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I will follow in the footsteps of manager Mike Schilt, who last night tipped his cap to the Dodgers. I will tip my cap to their division-winning season. They played better against the Colorado Rockies and Los Angeles Angels than the Padres did.
That's exactly right.
That was the difference. I think I just counted it. Six extra wins against the Rockies and the Angels that the Padres did not get. That proved to be the difference in the end. They got the job done against the terrible teams. And the Padres, unfortunately, we all know, stubbed their toe against the Rockies and the Angels this year. Well, outside of that, Padres had the edge this year.
I was going to say, surely they beat, for all the lip
every
that
other
they
place,
run.
But yeah, we couldn't beat the Rockies, so yeah, you got us. Yes.
Congrats, guys. You know what's coming, though, here in a couple weeks. You know what's coming. I know what's coming. You know.
Well, it won't be the Dodgers' fault. They got to take a week off now.
Paulie, you're right. Winning the division is probably the worst thing they could do. Because you get that, well, for them, you get that built-in excuse of, well, how are we supposed to, man? We had a week off. But
stupid format. The league's against us.
They played much better last night. They played much, much better. Much, much better. So, it's listen, you did what you're supposed to do, and you won the division after, you know, we cut $92 million. The fact that it took you 159 games, hey, man, that's something else, too. But you guys will be fine. You'll be fine. You got the best players. I mean, again, you look at that team and you go, holy crap, dude. That's three MVPs. One, two, three. That's a cool thing to have, I bet. It's a really cool thing to have.
Two in a walking boot now.
Yeah. That's fair. Two plus one in a walking boot. But October.
Learn how to tag first base the right way.
Yeah, 100%. Maybe you don't turn to the side, just run through it, you know? I mean, we did a lesson with our little leaguers last week about that. But hey, man, listen. Congratulations. Something to beat your chest about. It's probably going to be the last thing you get to beat your chest about, though, this year. I think you guys know that. The starting pitching is going to be an issue from you. But I'll tell you, though, if their offense, which is pretty potent, if their offense can get four or five runs early, yeah, man, their bullpen's really good. Evan Phillips is good. Joe Kelly is whatever, but he
Kopech's
really, really good. So, yeah, man, I think you guys, you know, as usual, you have a shot. Will the top of your order hit? Probably for a Dodger fan, nice to see Mookie get after it. As I speculated yesterday, the Mookie Betts offer will not continue, and it didn't. So, again, you were able to kind of neutralize Shohei last night, but that's what the Dodgers can do. You've got Mookie Betts right behind you and Freddie Freeman behind him, and they're a dirty team. They're a nasty team. They do deserve respect, absolutely, but I would tap the brakes a little bit, beating my chest on 11 of 12, because you really only have one little 60 to show for it. So, I think, you know, you do have a shot to win the World Series. In fact, you're the favorites, so I would expect if you're the World Series favorites, you would be the favorites to win the NL West, too. That would just make sense to me. But anyway, congratulations. You guys have, you earned it. You absolutely earned it this year. And built, not bought, certainly. And congrats. Congrats. And thanks for being in our chat today. We needed the numbers, frankly.
I remember those days of hearing about these young up-and-coming prospects in the Dodgers system, like Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, Tyler Glasnow.
Yeah, hot.
I mean,
hot prospects.
Built, not bought.
We're driving them crazy right now. And that's the goal. We like to have fun in here, guys. Come on. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Will they turn into pumpkins or will they go out and complete the mission at hand? I mean, look, we played them three games and I thought, man, I'm telling you, save an inning here or there. And I saw a lot of, you guys got lucky with the triple play. Yeah, you're probably right. Take some skill there, certainly. Take some skill to achieve that play. But holy smokes, not the best couple of games for the San Diego Padres, but I think there's a lot of bright spots still about this team. I don't think there's any reason to go doom and gloom. And you're still playing October baseball. You're playing October baseball. It starts Tuesday. We just don't know where yet.
We talked about it a lot for the last couple of days. Tuesday night, you punch your ticket into the postseason.
Yeah.
From here on out, it's essentially you're playing around. You're finding what works, what didn't. You're able to learn from these experiences without having a brutal penalty of a playoff loss. Like the last two nights would have been awful. It would have been detrimental if you were in the playoffs and you're down, say, 2-1 in a best of five series.
Oh, yeah.
But now you're learning. Mike Shildt is learning. The coaching staff is learning. The players are learning.
Yeah.
Okay, like, here's what we won't be doing.
Correct. And that's the fun part about getting into some of the strategy that was deployed last night. And, you know, listen, if you want me to come in here and rip Mike Shildt this morning, I'm probably not going to. I didn't really disagree with many of his moves last night. Obviously, when guys don't execute that traditionally execute, you know, you're left in a little bit of a bind. And I'd like to encourage everyone too, if you take the gift of hindsight out of it, and really try to play it through the way that Mike Shildt was doing it in real time, I think you'll probably see that, just got away from us, right? One of those. You can't say it every time. You can't. Of course there's going to be. I never see Shilty get caught flat-footed. Do you guys? Like, do you ever see him get, maybe once or twice this year, which is going to happen in 162. But like Dave Roberts the other night with that bunt, and when he took it off, and then Rojas hitting the triple play, his comments after the game, you go, bro, you just got caught flat-footed. Like, you're flat-footed, you don't mean what you're saying. I really never hear that from Shildt. Does he always make the right move? Obviously not. But I thought last night, letting Joe go, all that, we can get into it, but there's a lot of strategy last night that execution was poor.
We definitely have some stuff to talk about.
What about Rob Pelinka, though? Are we going to touch on Rob Pelinka?
I want to add.
Rams and Bears this weekend.
And before we take our first break, I do want to add that the Padres played well enough to get us at least thinking about, you know, passing the Dodgers. Ultimately, they would have needed to win 14 of their last 15 and last 10 in a row to win the division. That's not something that anyone should have ever expected or should be disappointed that they didn't do. Yes, they're not going to end up winning their last 10 in a row and 14 out of 15 to take the division. It's not an indictment on the San Diego Padres that they couldn't get that done. So if we gave you the hope that they could because they had been playing so well, maybe we are partly responsible for some of the disappointment you're feeling, but there's really nothing to be disappointed. They clinched a playoff spot. They still can very easily clinch home field in the wild card round this weekend, and we will tell you exactly what they need to do that when we come back, set the menu, and get you ready for a Friday show that includes a Hall of Famer. And I will just leave it at that. And we will come back. We'll check Kelly's traffic. And it is, it's also National Corned Beef Hash Day, which I love.
Repugnant.
And I don't see any corned beef hash.
Absolutely repugnant.
Either, which is next on San Diego's.
Hug a Vegetarian Day, which won't be happening in here.
Not at all. On San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, scenarios. Still clinching scenarios available for your San Diego Padres. Obviously, the NL West is not in play anymore, but Padres would still very much like to clinch a home playoff series in the wild card round. What do they need to do that? Woods, it's pretty simple. You have to win at least one game against the Arizona Diamondbacks. That is a must, because if the Diamondbacks won all three, they would move into a tie with the Padres, and they would have the tiebreaker. They're three games behind the Padres going into this series. Would have been nice. You could have wrapped that up with a win in either of the last 2 days, but the Diamondbacks still have that glimmer of a hope of sweeping the Padres. They could actually pass them, or at least tie them and own the tiebreaker. So you have to win one game in your last three.
If you want to play at home
yes.
on Tuesday.
Now, you also have to finish ahead of the Mets. If you only win one game, you need the Mets to lose once as well. Now, they have five games left, three against the Brewers and two against the Atlanta Braves on Monday. So if you win one, the Mets would need to lose one of those five. If you win two, doesn't matter what the Mets do. They could win all five games. If you win this series, you're also absolutely guaranteed to host a wild card okay. playoff series next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, if necessary,
win two out
at
of three.
Petco Park. So two out of three definitely gets it done. One out of three,
with some help,
very likely gets it done unless the Mets go 5-0.
One thing that you can absolutely say about this last 3 weeks from a month, the Padres have had zero help. I mean, almost zero help from any of the other teams. So this, it does feel like they're going to have to kind of do it themselves. And you want to take those, you want to take all those weird, chaotic things out of it. And the way that you can do that is by beating an Arizona Diamondbacks team two out of three.
Yeah, the one team they have gotten some help from is actually the Diamondbacks, who have gone 6-7 in their last 13, 12-13 in their last 25. They've been a sub 500 team for the past month. After being really hot since the All-Star break, they've cooled off considerably, more than any of the other playoff contenders, really. So you just got to go in and make sure you take care of business here. I think one's enough. The question is, if you get one, how strongly are you going after the other two when you want to, you know, maybe get some guys some rest. You don't want to use Michael King on Saturday or Sunday. And the Padres did announce a change.
Just going to say,
in their rotation. So
are they going for that one win tonight?
Absolutely. So, yes, Yu Darvish has been moved up and will start tonight's series opener instead of Martin Perez, whose turn it would have been in the rotation. So it'll be Yu Darvish against Merrill Kelly in the series opener tonight at 6:40. And then the Padres have just said it's TBD, TBD the next 2 days. I mean, theoretically, if the Padres win today and the Mets lose in Milwaukee, I think it's Sean Manaea against Frankie Montas, Padres will have clinched the home field. And there would be nothing else that they can clinch, so they can do whatever they want in the last two. I would imagine Martin Perez may pitch. You may call someone up. You may have back of a bullpen sort of day. Just get everyone the work that they need. But neither of those games will have any impact on your playoff chances. If you win today and the Mets lose, it's over. There's nothing left to play for this weekend. Now, if you lose or if the Mets win, then you'll go into Saturday needing, you know, you could reduce your magic number to one for that clinching, and then you figure out how you want to play it the last 2 days of the season.
You know, Craig Elston said on the roundtable yesterday, I think he's been saying it on his show too, that this is just the fun week. It doesn't feel very fun. I'm not having a lot of fun right now. And it, yes, you know you're in the dance, right? You are playing October baseball. You do want those games at home. Certainly we do. We want those games at home. Makes it easier for everyone. A lot more fun. Get down there and go do some live appearances and things like that. But this isn't fun at all. It's not even fun a little bit right now. Losing those last two to the Dodgers is not fun. And really, the way that you lost, I think both of those games was terrible. Just kind of unraveled in one inning. And now you look at it and go, all right, well, the Diamondbacks see a little bit of light. You gave them a little bit of light. That's not fun. This is not fun. There's nothing fun about it. You know, thinking about if we lost tonight to Merrill Kelly, who's been really good. You were read me some of his numbers earlier. Yeah, it's not great. Then tomorrow you got to rejigger again. You got two games left. You're gonna have to find a way to win one of those. Mets are very hungry. This isn't fun. There's nothing fun about this.
I need a vintage Yu Darvish start. I need a win tonight. I need a Mets loss, and then I want half the team flying home on Saturday morning to San Diego to get ready for Tuesday, and just call up some guys from Peoria over to downtown. Head into Chase Field. You're making your major league debut, guys.
I need a Tyler Wade start at short. Like I need air. I need to see Nick Ahmed with some ABs.
Brandon Lockridge
starting in center
a lot this weekend if things go
That's
well.
That's what you wanted, man.
For the Padres. So, yeah, we will we'll talk about that more, obviously, as the show goes on. Coming up next, though, in our Padres wrap-up, we will... I mean, there are...
You guys having fun? Is it fun?
Let's talk about what's the...
No, the playoffs aren't fun.
No, it's not fun.
What's the legitimate level of concern over the Padres offense right now?
A lot.
We definitely can talk about that coming up in our Padres wrap-up and what went wrong in last night's game against the Dodgers. 7 o'clock hour, we've got Take on Woods and Don't Do This. 8 o'clock, it is Jordan Schusterman time from Cespedes Family Barbecue, their weekly segment. We'll talk to Jordan as the... it's kind of awards season. The Padres making a really aggressive... offensive for Jackson Merrill as the votes are now coming in from writers around the country on Rookie of the Year. They want that. You can tell by what they did yesterday. So we'll talk with Jordan Schusterman, Rindle Report, and then at 9 o'clock, in lieu of our manager's report with Mike Schilt. We've given Mike Schilt the day off because they had a very late arrival, early this morning, actually, in Arizona after the game last night. So
let's be honest with our audience. We did not give Mike Schilt the day off.
No.
Mike Schilt called the day off.
No, well, he's actually going to be on later. He's going to be on with Tony Gwynn Jr. in the afternoon.
What he did is he switched his shift. We've all worked jobs where you said, hey, man, can you cover mornings for me? I got to work the afternoon. Oh, yeah, no problem. I'll switch with you. So we switched. He switched shifts.
We have a good reliever coming in to substitute for him at 9 o'clock, though.
Yes, we do.
The Hall of Fame reliever.
Like one of the best to ever do it.
Trevor Hoffman is going to be with us at 9 o'clock this morning, so definitely looking forward to that.
I couldn't be happier. Earlier in the week, I had said to Paulie, man, with all the discourse going on about the closer's role with the San Diego Padres, let's get Hoffie on the phone. And, we got Schilt on Friday. We don't know if we can get them both. Well, then Schilt had to switch to the afternoon, and we said, we got to get Hoffie now. So we can talk to him about some of the closer discourse. Again, man, decent little tease going into the next break. Be careful what you wish for. Padres fans, be careful with the knee-jerk reactions. Be careful what you wish for because you got a taste of it last night. And there's no concrete way to manage a bullpen. There's just not. Unless you have the benefit of 20/20 hindsight. Then we're all Bruce Bochy at that point.
Or maybe it was one day, get it out of your system and then get right back to what you had been doing.
Correct.
Because at some point, every reliever is going to have a hiccup. Every single one of them. Much rather it happen this week than next week.
No doubt.
All right, before we go, how about a little, everyone feels like drinking this morning, right? How about an early giveaway for our Tier 1s who are up in the 6 a.m. hour? We got our last pair of La Mesa Oktoberfest VIP tickets to give away. Hofbrauhaus VIP tickets for Saturday or Sunday, October 6th. It is a free event, but if you want the VIP tickets, you can buy them at LaMesaOktoberfest.org, or you can win them right now. Let's just give them to the third caller, 833-288-0973. Reward you for getting up early with Ben and Woods. Check out the La Mesa Oktoberfest October 4th through the 6th with kids and dog activities, beer gardens, and those VIP tickets available for purchase. And we'll come back with our Padres wrap-up right after this on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Usually we play a real or fake on Throwback Thursdays, but I kind of want to incorporate real or fake into our discussion here. Like real concern or fake concern about the San Diego Padres after the last 2 days as we go through starting pitching, bullpen, offense, specific players and their struggles right now. We will take a deeper look at what the Padres have gone through recently, not just the last couple of days, but going over the last like week or so, Woods. There's definitely the offense hasn't done what it was doing earlier in the season. So we will get into that. We'll give you some quick highlights here in our Padres wrap-up and then talk about it all after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame. It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the pump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
Tani kind of goes without saying. Curveball popped up behind second base. Cronenworth back onto the outfield grass. He'll make the catch. That one is a no-brainer. Scoreless bottom of the first inning for Joe Musgrove. Here's the 0-1 pitch. And Arise bounces into first base. Freeman is back. His only play is the underhand flip to Buehler. It is in time. Peralta comes in to score. And the Padres take a 1-0 lead. One swung on, sent in the air to right center field. Going back into the gap, Páez. The center fielder will make the catch. Profar tagging on his way. The throw going to go to third. Manny slides in there safely. A sacrifice fly for Bogarts. And a 2-0 Padre lead. 1-2, swung on and missed. Strike three. Six shutout innings for Joe Musgrove. No runs ahead. Ohtani left at third. Musgrove is set. Here's the pitch. Smith swings, sends it in the air, deep to center field. Merrill's going back on the track, at the wall, looking up, going to go. Home run to center field for Will Smith. A two-run game-tying shot here in the bottom of the seventh inning. 1-0 pitch, Shohei, ground ball right side, Arise dives, can't get it, it's into right field. Hernandez rounding third, he's going to score. Tatis's throw goes into third, it gets beyond Machado. That will allow Ohtani to take second base. The Dodgers have gone ahead for the first time tonight. It's 3-2. 1-1. That swings, lines it into right center. That's a base hit. Páez has scored. Ohtani's on his way. This time, Fernando's throw bounces into second base. A two-run single for Mookie Betts. And just like that, the Dodger lead is 5-2. Owing is set. Now the pitch. Páez swings, hits it in the air. Deep to left field, towards the pole, way back, gonna go. Long home run to left for Andy Páez. A two-run dagger in the bottom of the eighth inning. And it's 7-2. 0-2 to Higashioka. Kopech is ready, he'll deliver. And it is swung on and popped up. Shallow right field, Chris Taylor back. The second baseman on the outfield grass has got it. And the ball game is over. For the 11th time in the last 12 years, the Dodgers win the National League West. They will have a bye into the National League Division Series, and we will see if we will see them again here in 2024. Padres had a 2-0 lead, and L.A. scored seven unanswered late to win the game 7-2 and clinch the National League West.
Very disappointed. You know, that's the goal we set out for. You know, clearly put a good run at it. Finished, you know, with four games remaining, you know, to have a chance at it. And came up short, and we move on.
Right, yes, we do.
Let me start with the easiest real or fake of this discussion. Real or fake, Mike Schilt's. Should have taken Joe Musgrove out after his really great six innings and not let him go back to start the seventh.
Absolutely fake.
I saw that take out there. Oh. Like, how could you let Joe go back out there for the seventh?
Not? How could you not?
I would have been screaming at my television had he taken Joe out after six innings, 70 pitches, as good as he looked.
Hey, and by the way, if you go into or when you go into a postseason series and that exact same situation presents itself, but your bullpen's maybe a little bit more rested. You got them some rest in Arizona. They're a little bit more fresh. I'd probably still let Joe go out and start it. Now, I may pull him after the leadoff walk, maybe, in a playoff game. I may pull him after a leadoff walk.
I probably don't. I mean, it was a nasty curveball. Muncy took it. It was an inch inside on the 3-2 pitch. He got ahead of Muncy.
Yeah.
Just couldn't finish him off. You know, Max Muncy for... As much as, you know, we probably all universally dislike him, gets his walks.
Yeah, good AB.
The guy gets his walks, and, you know, Joe is just unable to finish him off. And then falling behind Will Smith was really the kiss of death there. You know, the 3-1 count, you can't walk two guys in a row, so he had to come in, likely with a fastball, and Will Smith knew it, was hunting it, and didn't miss it. And obviously that changed the game considerably. Joe got the next out, and then he was taken out of the game. Still an outstanding performance Joe Musgrove yesterday.
You hate it. You hate it for him because he pitched really well enough to win that ball game. But again, the offense did not really come through last night. That's where my concern kind of lies. And, you know what I'm going to talk about. I got 40 tweets about it right when it happened. And yes, they got a run out of the Jackson Merrill sacrifice bunt, but I don't want Jackson Merrill dropping down a sacrifice in the sixth inning, against a very prolific offense, who is capable of putting up, let me see, at least five runs in an inning. I'm not playing for one there, maybe two. I'm especially not playing for one there, maybe two, with Xander Bogaerts coming up behind. I realize that he's had a couple of RBIs this series, but I'd rather have Jackson Merrill hit a ball into the gap and score both of those runs and then be in scoring position and potentially have a bigger inning. We got one run there. So I guess I can't say much because we did get the one run. But again, that's not a strategy that's going to win you ball games against a team with an offense like the LA Dodgers.
It might. I mean, I certainly see
it. It won't.
Joe's pitching great. He's got one. You get him two, and you're good. I can see the argument. However,
in the sixth, man, there is so four more ABs for that team.
I think the counter argument is, all right, if Jackson Merrill swings away, what's the worst thing that can happen?
Double play.
Double play. You don't score any in that inning. Doesn't get the runners over. You end up not scoring. You still have the 1-0 lead. You still feel good with Joe Musgrove. I agree with you, Woods. I think you take your chance at letting Jackson hit against a right-hander and going for the big inning there and trying to add on, you know, two, three more runs to really put yourself in a better position. A two-run lead against the Dodgers, let's be honest, feels like almost nothing.
Correct.
With a 2-0 lead, I knew at some point, I didn't know how fast it would happen, but I knew at some point their big boppers would come up as a tying or go-ahead run.
Yeah.
Just was going to happen. They are going to get a guy on at some point, and they're going to have someone very scary coming up to the plate, even with a 2-run lead. You really have to be up, you know, like 4 to feel even a little bit comfortable against the Dodgers. So when you have the opportunity to go for a bigger inning, I still think you have to take it. And it's the one thing that has changed about the San Diego Padres. Yes, they have struggled with runners in scoring position this series. In fact, they finished in the series, RISP, 3-for-25 in the series. Now, they have been
not going to cut it.
They have been fantastic all season long.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous how good they've been all season long. They haven't just forgotten how to hit with runners in scoring position. That's baseball randomness hitting you at a bad time. 3-for-25, 0-for-10 yesterday. However, the big inning, which was a hallmark of the San Diego Padres. Remember how many times we talked about, ooh, another 4-run inning. I think Giannis on Twitter called it the power of friendship inning.
Power of friendship and just hit.
Passing the baton. You know, they kept saying that. Passing the baton to the next guy. And they had the most 4-run innings in baseball. They don't have a single one this month.
Yep.
I had to go back and look. August 30th. Was the last time. It is now September 27th.
It's
been
tight,
nearly
man.
A month since the Padres have had a 4-run inning, something they did with regularity. When you bunt, you're definitely taking away a lot of the chances at those 4-run innings. I'm not saying it's always the wrong play, but one of the hallmarks of the Padres has disappeared.
I'm saying it's mostly the wrong play. And when you look up and you go, all right, this kid's got, what, 23 pops this year, very good bat-to-ball guy. I mean, he sprays it left, goes up the middle, pulls it right. Doesn't matter. Jackson Merrill's a great hitter. Some would say he's an elite hitter. And that guy decides, I'm going to lay one down, or it's decided for him, either or. If I'm the Dodgers, I'm like, got you. I'll take my chances with Xander Bogaerts in the bottom of the order after that every single time. We watched Anders ABs. Yeah, he floated a couple out there. He's not barreling the baseball. He doesn't strike fear into anyone, you know? So I want my guy Jackson Merrill, who is one of the best hitters on the team.
I wonder if that was called for, or did anyone ask if that was called for, or Jackson did that on his own pro-far style? I'm not sure.
I hate it. I hate it. It's such a... now, again, if it's the eighth inning and it's a 0-0 game, fine, man. Like, there's time and place. But in the sixth, go out there... Swing away. You're an elite hitter. Stay elite. big innings. That's how you're going to win. Two runs is not going to cut it against that offense. It's just not.
Now, in the last 10 games, Padres have only scored more than four once. So the offense, when you're talking about the real or fake concern, I kind of lean toward real.
For which one? The offense?
The offensive concern.
I have it too.
However, it's not as though they're out there doing absolutely nothing. They only struck out
twice
in the entire game last night. They put the ball in play. There were warning track flies. Well, Jackson Merrill hit some balls ripped right at people.
The more reason to swing away and not hand them out.
But what I'm talking about is how worried you should be. They're not going up there just flailing and looking like they've forgotten how to hit. They're putting the ball in play. Arise is certainly off. He is now 2 for his last 28.
It's tough, man. It's a tough time of year for that.
And while he is putting the ball in play, he's getting under it. He's popping up. It certainly looks like the thumb is bothering him more than it was a couple of weeks ago. I know that I've seen many people say, you got to get him out of the lineup, give him some time off. And if Arise is, I might be helped by a few days off, then get him out of the lineup.
Got to.
If Arise, though, is saying, I need to hit my way out of this and get going, then you need to keep hitting him, because the last thing you want is Arise just sitting in a 2-for-28 funk when he starts the playoffs on Tuesday, because I'm almost positive he will be batting leadoff for the Padres on Tuesday.
Correct.
In the wild card game.
Yeah.
So do you want Luis Arise to just sit for the next 3 days getting healthy, but know then he's taking a 2-for-28 into the postseason, or do you want him actually swinging the bat and hopefully, getting some hits and becoming Luis Arise again? If he says, I'm fine going out there, I want Luis Arise going out there and trying to swing his way out of his slump, because you're going to need him in the postseason.
Bat him ninth. Bat him ninth for right now.
I would be okay moving him down.
Because, again, having a double leadoff is always an elite move. And if he's down in the nine hole, he's not starting the game off with a lazy fly ball or a ground out. And Tatis leads off, or Profar leads off. It's not like we don't have guys that can fill in those roles. It's not like Jackson Merrill couldn't slide up to three. It's not like Manny couldn't slide up to three. It's not like, you just move guys around a little bit to take some of the pressure off of them. But I do think, it's a bad time of year to go into a 2-for-28.
Now, if you were fighting for your playoff life and you had to win these next three games and Luis is in an absolute funk, you might give him a day off, try someone else in that situation. But you're not.
You want him to hit his way out of it.
You want him. You need him.
He's too good of a hitter
not to. You need him to get going. He's been too consistent, and he just over his career, he's going to get going again at some point.
Yep.
He will. You just want to make it as fast as possible that he gets back to being Luis Arise.
Yeah. Yeah, you really can't afford many more days, many more offers for Luis. Had a productive out, I guess, at one point yesterday. But again, a healthy Luis Arise can turn that into a big inning.
Yeah, Manny, who had been slumping a little bit, three hits, and they were all hard hit, and almost a home run. I mean, just nearly the 4-for-4.
Thought he had it.
With the home run.
He did too.
Just a little bit off the end of the bat, but that was a really good sign.
The Tatis one down the line was
a killer.
That looked like it was inches from
almost
the pole.
Killed that guy.
When he stopped and looked over to the dugout, like, are you sure that wasn't home?
He saw it hit off the seat, and I think it was yellow and seat and
right,
a yellow.
I thought live that it did sneak fair, but obviously on replay it didn't. Merrill was 0-for-3, but he hit the ball hard, nicely a couple of times.
And he would have been 0-for-4, Ben. He could have been 0-for-4, but at least he was 0-for-3 because he got the sack bunt down.
And then even Higgy, who had been slumping, hit the ball hard, had the double that set up the first run, had a really hard line out, had a hard home run foul. I mean, when he's hitting it well, he's pulling those balls down the line, and saw that from Higgy yesterday. So there were actually some reasons for encouragement yesterday. Just no hits with runners in scoring position and didn't capitalize on your many opportunities to put some runs on the board. But it wasn't as dire or maybe panic inducing as you might think with a 7-2 loss to the Dodgers.
Bill says he needs to play this weekend, Ozuna right behind him in batting title. I know that means a lot to Luis Arise. It doesn't mean much to me as far I want him to get going, because we need, if you're going to be the catalyst, the guy at the top of the order, you can't be in a 2-for-28. So I don't know how much I would leave him if he continues this series. And again, I understand Mike Schilt's position, and I think we all should. Luis, how's the thumb? It's good. Can you go? Yeah, I can go. Great. You're in there. That's it. That's these guys are two-time batting champion. Has had some monster hits for you this season. It's a no-brainer to keep putting him in if he says he's good to go. No-brainer.
I think you ask him, what do you think is best for you?
Right.
Do you want a couple days off? Do you think that would help? Fine. You want to play? You think that'll help? Fine. This is whatever Luis Arraez thinks is going to be best for him to be at whatever maximum output he can be once the playoffs start.
Yeah, we can't, like this guy in the chat says, you can't forget who he is. Just like Manny, you can't forget the consistency that some of these guys have had in their career. And when a player is consistently consistent and they're a little banged up and they're injured and but they still want to go, that's not a detriment to the team, in my opinion. It's not. I feel like those guys know enough to know, I got to get it going, and this is how I get it going. He's not going to start hitting by sitting on the bench or getting one pinch hit appearance. If his thumb is hurt and he needs to sit, no one's going to deny him that. But I absolutely understand getting him out there.
Certainly, there was some uncertainty thrown into the Padres' back end of the bullpen equation yesterday, and we can talk about that when we come back. We'll also play a Friday edition of Take on Woods, try to qualify one of our final listeners in September for a trip to Las Vegas. Don't go away. We're back in just a couple minutes here on 97.3 The Fan.